Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, it was a bye week. Finally, that's all done and over with. Now it's time to get ready for those dreaded UMass Minutemen.
Good game for Penn State to have coming off a bye. I'm just going to say that first. I think a bye came at a really good time for Penn State. It also, in some respects and in some ways with how college football's starting to shape out now, it was kind of a bad week for Penn State to be a quiet participant in the national conversation, right? So I think they sort of suffered a little bit overall, big picture wise, but they need to get a few guys healthy. You always take time off in the middle of a grind and welcome it, no matter what happens. You welcome it, use it well, because it helps.
Yes, I think it lined up well for them. They're closing in on midseason. Good time for the break, number one. Number two, they've traditionally struggled after a bye, Andy. Having UMass come in for a glorified scrimmage, again, that's kind of nice. Leads them up to Ohio State, gives them a chance to get healthy before then, you know, gives them the opportunity with the UMass game to work on things if that's the goal. So a lot of good things with how the schedule lined up for them. And I understand what you meant by, you know, you have a bye week and all of a sudden you're off the stage and everybody else gets to take the stage. In the long run, everybody's going to have their bye weeks or playing, you know, a team like a UMass. Doesn't matter. Eventually, Penn State has to play Michigan and Ohio State. And I've read and I saw where some fans were, oh, Oklahoma jumped Penn State. Well, they beat Texas.
Right.
Penn State fans, who did you beat? Guess what, though? You beat Ohio State, you'll get the recognition. You beat Ohio State and Michigan, you'll really get the recognition.
They're going to get two cracks at the Red River Rivalry Apple, right? If you want to look at it that way, right? Like, yes. From the Oklahoma perspective, they're going to get two bites on a really, really shiny apple, Jimmy.
They really do. But anyway, Andy, James Franklin has reminded us, don't call this an off week. It's a bye week. They've got to get things done. So they've worked on things to get done. However, you didn't need the fireworks of a game. You had the fireworks from the press conference this week, didn't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to talk about this, Andy. To give background to folks who may not know it, one of the members of the media in James Franklin's weekly press conference, he asked about Penn State throwing the ball deep, which they haven't been doing a lot of. And the questioner wanted to ask, essentially, should they be trying to do it more, even if it means forcing it? I want to play for you that little exchange, and then we'll have Andy respond to it.
Balance, though, between, hey, we need you to throw the ball deep no matter. Just take a shot. Don't overthink it. Take a shot. We need to see it. We're going to call it. And we need you to get some confidence in doing this as opposed to even giving a young quarterback the chance to say, hey, just check it down if it's not there.
I don't really understand what you're saying because we would never. Like, I'm like, my skin is curling when you say just drop back and chuck it deep no matter what. Like that is like, I don't know what you're saying. It's like you're speaking like from
just
Mars.
Just send a guy in a post pattern, take the shot, throw it.
No matter what.
Give your receiver a chance to make a play on a ball. Even if he might be covered 30 yards down the field, maybe you think he'll be open 45 yards down the field and like Godwin did or with Jahan or KJ.
We you're speaking Japanese. We have never done that. Just throw the ball up and maybe he'll be open and maybe he'll catch. Like my skin is like my, Like, you're making me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, okay. Yeah, we would not do that. We would never do that. We've never thought about doing that as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, as a receivers coach. I coached the receivers. I didn't want them to do that. So, no. Strong no. Like, yeah, no.
Okay, Andy. I think James Franklin was pretty emphatic in his response. You and I have talked about this before. Sometimes James Franklin in these media get-togethers, he's sending a message to someone. How do you interpret this interchange?
Stupid question. Just, first of all, the premise is stupid. You don't just throw the ball up, right? There's so many things that James is right. Listening to it and listening to you play it, my skin's curling. I'm like, that is such a stupid premise to have. It's an individual narrative, and it is someone's a member of the media's individual bias, and he doesn't pay attention and know what he's looking at to know what. What? How stupid the question is he's asking. It's ignorantly arrogant. If you want, you can't force that kind of stuff. Okay, they've got an 8-man umbrella coverage going, and we're going to force it up deep. Go ahead. How's that going to end for your young quarterback? That's not going to end well for your young quarterback. That's just one thought. The second thought is, watch the football games. Watch the team you're actually supposed to be covering. And I'm picking on the member of the media here, knucklehead. What a knucklehead question. If you watch the Northwestern game, and you have to watch all the game, Penn State did throw the ball deep. Remember photographers getting wiped out? They took deep shots. And when it comes to taking plays beyond 30 yards, let's just throw that Barry up there. When it comes to those plays, and you and I have talked about this, Jimmy, when it comes to Penn State. Just make sure it doesn't look like you're forcing it down our throat, right? Don't make it look forced. We've talked about that, how it's like, yeah, it just feels kind of like, they're forcing it. Like they're, no matter what, it's a no matter what scenario. You can't make those kind of plays happen. You have to let them happen. The harder you make them happen, the harder you try to make them happen, the less chances that they're ever going to happen. That is my true belief.
Andy, I'm going to defend the questioner a bit here. I think it was not worded very well at all. But I think the question of how come Penn State isn't going deep more often is a legitimate question. And I think it should have been open-ended with, hey, coach, how come not? And is there an argument for trying to go deep, even if it's not a sure thing, because it could open up some other things on the offense? I think also James Franklin, you know, took the answer in a direction, scolding the reporter for how he worded it, instead of saying, hey, if what you mean is this, and given a legitimate answer where the media and the public could have gotten something substantial, something worthwhile out of the answer. So to me, poorly worded question, poor attitude on the answer. And I want to tie in another topic, the other, not quite as much fireworks, Andy, but something else that came up was James Franklin was asked about scheduling. Essentially, I think Delaware's name may have come up in the question. Essentially, if you dig into the question was asking about the out-of-conference scheduling and scheduling easier teams. James Franklin started the conversation with, although not naming by name, he brought up Michigan, which I believe canceled a game with UCLA, and we know Michigan's out-of-conference schedule is the cupcake of cupcake schedules.
It's embarrassing.
But James Franklin essentially was saying, hey, that's the way scheduling has to be. Well, the media took his answer, turned it into he was being critical of Michigan. But the fact is, he was very careful in his wording. He, if you read the transcript, he was not critical, brought them up, and it was kind of, he Weasley worded that a bit, and then came back and said, how dare you media take this and run with it that way, when maybe it's an unfair analogy, Andy, but I think he took this reporter's question that we played earlier and he ran with it a certain way. So a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black here.
Yeah, I think, okay, yeah, it could be. I just think that the original question, Jimmy, was so outlandishly poor and stupid. There's no other thing. It's just stupid. If you ask that question that way, that means you're trying to make yourself into the spotlight. You're just trying to be stupid. You're actually looking for a fight. There's 19 other ways to ask that kind of question. And it is legit, Jimmy. You are right. There is legitimacy to it. This offense is not explosive. It is functionally effective, but it is not explosive. Despite the points, it is not an explosive offense. Is there anything, does it have to be explosive? You could use it, but that's a different argument. The scheduling thing, you can't control the media. James needs to stop, right? Like, be done. You can't fix stupid, right? They're going to interpret the way they want. They get that right kind of to interpret it. He did choose his words very carefully. I agree with him.
Well, he had no need to mention Michigan in his answer. Now, I know he didn't say Michigan, but that's who he was talking about, and it was obvious that he was. He could have just, in general, answered the question that, look, the Big Ten it's loaded. Our conference schedule is going to be packed with big games. To be fair, you can't then schedule big out-of-conference games. You just can't do it if your goal is to make the playoffs. And that's got to be the ultimate goal here. So my take on, you know, kind of tying the two stories together, Andy, is he worded his answer and, you know, kind of pointing the finger at Michigan. He did that poorly, and then there were repercussions to that. The same thing, the reporter who asked him about throwing deep, he used poor wording there. James Franklin could have let him off the hook. I've seen him let other people off the hook who asked stupid questions in the media, and he chose not to. So, badly worded question, I think not a good tone with the answer. Andy, that is it for quarter one. We got more to talk about, though. Stick around. Quarter number two is coming up.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. you get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, first quarter, we spent a lot of time with James Franklin's press conference and, you know, trying to read between the lines and the meaning of this, meaning of that. Let's move on to more football type topics. And again, though, I'm going to bring up some things that were said in the press conference. And it's always fascinating to me if a media member asks about a specific player, hey, tell me about John Smith. You're going to hear all these superlatives about John Smith. He works hard, blah, 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 blah. What I find interesting, though, is when James Franklin himself brings up a specific player. I think early in the season, unprompted, he brought up Catron Allen, and I think that was in response to all the attention Nick Singleton was getting. This time around, his shout-out was for Johnny Dixon, and I think this was very legitimate, Andy, because obviously, we all know about Kalen King and how good he is. And a year ago, the talk was about Joey Porter, and quietly, Kalen King was having a really good year. Now, Kalen King is the guy who comes in preseason All-American and all that. Well, you better have another cornerback on the other side, and this year it's Johnny Dixon, right?
Yeah, so James intentionally brought him at the very beginning of it, and it's for a good reason, Jimmy. So it's when you're talking about Penn State and the defense, and they're the number one ranked defense in the country right now, right? They're one of, if not the best, most complete defense in the country. That's not up for debate and argument. The numbers back it up, and when you watch them and do the eye test, yeah, they pass. But when the game is on and when they're talking about the game or when they're talking about the defense on a big stage, on the national stage, they're talking about the three levels. They always mention Chop Robinson, Abdul Carter, and Kalen King, right? As they should, right? They've earned that status. They don't go beyond that. But if you watch Penn State, and I hope you Penn State fans know this, the way I look at the corners, and James is right for bringing up Johnny, they're both pretty good. Together, they're elite. They're ridiculously elite, Jimmy. The way they're playing, I'm not saying they're first-round draft pick NFL talent, both of them. Yeah, Kalen King's probably a first-round NFL draft pick. But the way they're playing and how they're operating as cornerbacks, I think of them as one, Jimmy. I really do. The Penn State cornerbacks. And then I say the names. That's the way I've looked at it from watching them this season, because they both have functioned at the same level and played that well. That's not a knock on King. That's not saying Johnny Dixon's better than one or is better than the other. The functionality of the two of them has been like no other combo at Penn State in 30 plus years that I've been watching and covering this team. Never saw it like this. Never have seen anything close to this.
And you know what, Andy, I'll admit a couple years ago when they first brought Johnny Dixon in, I was kind of like, well, why? You know, this was not an area of weakness. Going to the transfer portal, I was wrong. Johnny Dixon has been fantastic. But I'm also going to add one more name to this, which is Daquan Hardy, who has played really well. And he hasn't just been limited to the slot. He has sometimes played on the outside. And I forget which game where he had the interception. His coverage was perfect, absolutely perfect.
I'm glad you mentioned Daquan. And now that you see it, you can look back a little bit. Okay, he was injured at times last year, right? He battled some injuries. I also think as you look back at it now, probably more than any one individual player in what Manny Diaz wanted from him and how he wanted to use him in this defense. I think Daquan struggled a little bit to figure all of that out and adjust, and he was injured too. That didn't help him. Because if you look at it now, and then you look at, you know, you think back to Daquan Hardy, who we thought was doing really good playing the slot 2 years ago when he was. He's at a whole nother level now. And he didn't have a great year last year. And Manny stuck with it and knew he had the skill set to do it. And he's expanded his scope of responsibility as a slot corner greatly. It'll help Daquan, the football player, when he gets ready to go to the next level, but it also is benefiting this defense tremendously. And I think Daquan struggled a little bit, but yeah, dude. And then throw in the four safeties, that secondary is stupid good, Jimmy.
And realizing, too, I'll start with just the cornerbacks, Andy, them having the abilities that they do. Hey, I can trust Kalen King on an island. I can trust Johnny Dixon on an island. I can trust Daquan Hardy on an island. It allows you to do so much more, not just with the first two levels, the linemen, the linebackers, but also those safeties that you referenced. All of a sudden, KJ Winston is up on the line of scrimmage doing his thing. So, yes, I think this was one of those. When James Franklin pointed out Johnny Dixon, it's like, yes, sir, that's exactly the case. And if you watch the games, you can see it going on. A couple other things coming out of the press conference this week. Another one was he was asked, as he always is, about the injured players. James Franklin will never come out and say, this is what's injured, this is the timetable. But he did talk quite a bit about Trey Wallace and what he means to the team in coming back. And you know I'm a big Trey Wallace guy. You saw what he could do against West Virginia, Andy. I am very much also in agreement with James Franklin. Trey Wallace will make a huge difference on this team, especially that group of wide receivers.
Yeah, we talked about it. We've talked about it for a couple times about this, Jimmy, that his absence has left sort of a hole at the wide receiver position, a position that already has, you know, question marks, you know, the inability to have clear identification of roles and who's in what spot and who's going to be productive. And we still, I mean, you know, a little bit more than we did at the beginning of the season. I think it's been harder for Keandre Lambert-Smith, who has really grinded while Trey Wallace has been out. I will say that. He's had to become more of a grinding-type wide receiver, and good for him for filling that. But it just seemed like, you know, we figured that there would be something. We didn't know which one it would be. There would be some kind of turnkey for this group. West Virginia, a little bit into the Delaware game before he got hurt. You were like, this is... That Trey Wallace guy is going to make this offense better. You knew that after six quarters, right? You were like, it is just clear. There's a comfort between him and the new quarterback. There's something cooking there that you can't really put your finger on, but you can see it when they, you know, as the offense moves down the field, you could see it. You're like, oh, this guy, yes, this is a very functional, helpful piece for the good young quarterback. But the absence of it showed even more, I think, Jimmy, right? Like that the value of it and what it brings to this offense. Have they become dysfunctional because of it? No, they haven't. But they are so much better with him in it. Now, he's coming off an injury. You know, absence does not make the heart grow fonder when it comes to being on the football field. It will be very important that sort of, you know, timing and rhythm that Drew Aller and Trey Wallace enjoyed and clearly showed was something that they had spent a lot of time working on. If that comes back and resurfaces through the course of this game, and let's hope he gets some serious snaps in, because he's been in and out, but it was very minimal, not much targets. It was just they were nursing him through an injury. Full strength him, and it shows a little bit. Man, that will help them tremendously going into the Ohio State game. He is an integral part of this offense, I believe.
I'm with you, Andy. as you know, Bing's been a big supporter of him, and it would have been different if somebody else stepped up. And the two names I bring up, you know, is Malik McLean and Dante Cephas. Now, I know the conversation with Cephas is he didn't get here till very late, so he's still catching up. That may be the case, but they really could have used him early in the season because that's when Trey Wallace was out. And, of course, McLean with a couple drops, you could see he dropped in the pecking order because of it. Throw in all those circumstances, it really adds to the need to get Trey Wallace back on the field. But it also, Andy, leads to, and I think you were starting to go down this path, Katron Allen was also out, came out of the Northwestern game. We don't know what kind of injury, hopefully not serious. Some of the reports is he was back practicing. But you know what? I look at those two guys very differently. If Katron Allen, if there's any question at all, you know what? I hold them out of UMass.
Yep.
Trey Wallace, though, if he could get on the field, I want him on the field. I think that they have to get him back out there working with Drew Aller as soon as possible.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Jimmy. Katron Allen should be in the – even if he's still a little nicked up, maybe he gets a couple – he should be in the position, in my opinion, of emergency running back only. Break glass only in case of an emergency. And if you have an emergency against UMass – you got some serious problems. But I would just keep him in that glass and make sure, because another 7 to 10 days is very helpful for any injury that he has. I agree with you. I think Trey Wallace needs to put some more tire and rubber on the road. I think he needs to lay some more tread down. I think Drew Aller needs to lay some tread down with him. I think it's a two-way street, right? Katron Allen's a one-way street. Katron Allen, we already know exactly what he can do. That the Drew Aller and Trey Wallace combination is just starting to sort of get itself, you know, am I going to get on the highway or am I not going to get on the highway? They were clearly ready to get up on the highway and go full speed. They've got to get back there before they hit the Ohio State, Michigan, you know, daily double.
And again, we don't know what the Katron Allen injury was. It could be something very minor, and especially with the bye week. You know, if he's 110% and ready to go, he's ready to go. I get that. But if there's any question, just to point out, you know, the difference between the two, I don't think it makes any difference whether Katron Allen is on the field against UMass or not. No difference at all come the following week. I think for Trey Wallace, though, and as you pointed out, probably even more so for Drew Aller's benefit to have Trey Wallace out there in this game, just to get the timing back, get that communication back, get themselves back in sync. That would be very big for this team. I truly believe that, Andy. All right, that is it for quarter two. Guess what? Quarter three, we're going to be taking your questions and we're going to ask Andy. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We are going to take your questions. And if you want to submit a question for Andy, all you got to do, download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store. That's it, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy and Ask T. Frank button. Just press that, and it'll walk you through. And at the end of the segment, Andy will pick out the best question, and whoever sent us that question, they will win the prize pack from, you guessed it, 409tailgateclub.com. Andy, before we get to the questions, real quick, I didn't get a chance to ask you your prediction for the UMass game. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is short and sweet. I like your term, tune-up game. I think there is some, you know, work that Penn State can get done in this game under the hood. Look, UMass defense is bad. I mean, the last Power 5 team they played was Auburn. They lost 59-14. They've lost five in a row. They do have a little pep in their step offensively, but the defense they're going to be playing is just something they've not even seen. 55-10 Penn State. I think they cover, and if it looks like anything other than that, then the tune-up was not successful.
I put it down as 52-7. I've been on the Penn State train. They've been beating the spread every week, so let's hope they continue to do that. All right, Andy, let's get to the questions. Let's start with John in Defiance, Ohio. Says, love listening to the show. You guys always do a great show. Thank you, John. With the schedule coming out for 24 and beyond, Penn State's the only school that doesn't have a protected rivalry. When I first heard this, I felt insulted as a Penn State fan. After thinking about it, I'm wondering if it actually hurts Penn State for hype and recruiting. I've always considered Ohio State as a rival. I wonder if the Big Ten is afraid of diminishing Michigan-Ohio State game as a vaunted rivalry. The third part of the question is, what about Penn State scheduling a non-Big Ten old-time foe like Pitt, West Virginia, or Syracuse every year? Can't wait to hear what you think.
Yeah, not bad, John, but you got that little Penn State bias in there about the hurting recruiting and not have – it was hard when, you know, how do you identify their rival? It's a tough one. It's a fair one. You're right. When I thought about it and we talked through it during the offseason, we were like, yeah, who is it? Who will it be? And it was tough, but does it hurt Penn State recruiting not having one? I don't think it does because they've already been identified as sort of the, you know, third wheel in the Big Ten, you know, behind Michigan and Ohio State. And does the conference favor Michigan and Ohio State overtly? No, but they are your national brands right now. They are. So they're kind of going to, it's always going to kind of look like that, but it might not be intentional. And the last part of it, what was the last part, Jimmy? I wrote two parts of it down. Oh my gosh.
The old time foes like Pitt, West Virginia, Syracuse, Penn State schedule them.
Yeah, I think Penn State will look at how this schedule plays out and then look at how they want to shape it. How the 12 team playoff looks in year one and two, I think a lot of schools will look at how that shapes out and what their situation is inside that, and then start looking at how they want to shape their schedule. That is just my thoughts on how they'll do it.
All right. I'll ask talk about the last part of it first. That schedule, James Franklin essentially said in his press conference, we're going to schedule cupcakes out of conference. Essentially said that. I think, like, West Virginia, I thought, though, was a perfect opponent for them. Not a great team, but not a cupcake. So it was a real game. playing UMass is, yes, I know, Andy, they only have one loss, but the spread was the spread for a reason, like a 3-touchdown spread, I believe, or close to that.
It was.
Give the players, by real test, I don't mean Ohio State or Michigan or going out and playing in Alabama, but give them a respectable game as opposed to a cupcake. And as far as the rivalries go, John, who cares?
Right.
In fact, if you start giving them Ohio State, how about Michigan? The Big Ten actually balanced the schedule a bit, so you won't have Penn State playing Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Oregon, Washington every year. That would be a brutal schedule. And they weren't just helping Penn State with that. They were also helping Ohio State and Michigan, so they don't have to play that many elite teams. So let's move on. Let's get to David in Chambersburg, who says, Andy, what would be your strategic advice to James Franklin and staff in game planning for Ohio State or Michigan?
Whew. Man, throwing both of them in there together is a tall ask. It's a good question. So for Ohio, they're different. And for I'll start with Michigan. They're a tough matchup for Penn State. You're gonna have to beat Michigan and beat Michigan at their own game, right? You're not gonna be able to pick and insert your will upon Michigan. They're a pretty good football team. You're going to have to sort of say that our athletes are better than your athletes playing. And Penn State can do this, at playing the kind of game that sort of is comfortable for you, but is also comfortable for us. And when it comes to Ohio State, put pressure on Ohio State. That is the way you can make Ohio State uncomfortable. If you watch in some of the big games, now they came back and beat Notre Dame. They came back in the second half and beat Maryland after Maryland put pressure on them. You have to put pressure on them for the longest periods of time, and you have to be able to not let their offense wreck you. That is sort of in Penn State's wheelhouse this year. Ohio State wants to wreck you. They want to wreck you offensively. They want to have that burst. That is how you can match up and play and beat both of these teams. Good question.
You know, Andy, I think what you do on defense is what you've been doing. Of course, you adapt a little bit to styles of play, but it's about putting pressure on the offense and essentially just keep doing that. On Penn State's offensive side, I think what they've got to do, they've been able to this first five games just say, we're going to grind it out. I'm going to run, and it's going to wear you down. And I think they need to be a little bit more open with the offense. I think they need to throw the ball to open up the running game, especially against the Michigan. I think they need to throw the ball on first down. I know, that's one of my pet peeves.
Even
if they're just the wide receiver screen, get yourself – make teams have to cover the rest of the field, Andy. All right, let's go to Lindsay and Butler, who says, hey, Andy and Jim, hope you both are doing well. I'm writing this with the intent to be a better fan. Since it's non-conference game week, it brings up the question I've always wondered. Can you teach me which one a Penn State fan should root for? When a Big Ten team plays a non-conference game with high visibility, as a Penn State fan, should I cheer for the Big Ten team to win so our conference looks better and stronger, or for the Big Ten team to lose so they have more losses than Penn State? Makes me think of Penn State losing to Pitt, and that is basically what kept them out of the playoffs. I know it's often case by case, but who should I be cheering for in these games in general?
That's interesting, Lindsay. I think I have an answer for you. You tell me what you think of this, Jimmy. I think you are, because they're your rivals, and I've learned this through my NFL experience as a fan, you cheer sometimes for the quality loss. You're looking for a quality loss where it's a game, both teams have a say in the outcome, and you want let's face it, we're talking about Ohio State and Michigan again, right? You want Ohio State and Michigan to lose. Ohio State presents itself with those opportunities by playing the schedule they play. Michigan does not present itself with many of those opportunities based on the way it sets up its football schedule. So you want to root for the quality loss, unless you're like most of the Penn State people I know that are Penn State fans, where they could be playing Sanford and they would hate and root against Ohio State because they just hate Ohio State so much.
You know, I had Ohio State Notre Dame game in mind. And now, first of all, I don't like either team. I want them both to lose, Andy. And of course, you want Ohio State to lose. But the fact is, does that change the quality of win later? Like next week when Penn State plays Ohio State, it's not a one-loss Ohio State. It's an undefeated Ohio State. I like that. The fact that Ohio State won but showed some vulnerability. It was essentially the same thing when they played Maryland. They won, but they looked vulnerable. I think that's helpful to Penn State, so that if Penn State can beat Ohio State next week in Columbus, it means more. You're beating the number three or four team in the country.
Right.
And the point about later on, he's right, though, Lindsay. Could it conceivably happen? And, you know, I was talking to someone else about this earlier today, Andy. If Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State each has one loss, there's a complicated tiebreaker to decide who goes to the Big Ten championship game. But might there be a college football playoff at stake? Let's say that three-way tie happens and Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship game and wins, they'll go to the playoffs. Now you have both Ohio State and Penn State with one loss. Who goes to the playoffs between the two, if that's what it comes down to? They'll probably use the head-to-head game to decide it. But if Ohio State did have that second loss against Notre Dame,
it would help.
Yes.
It would eliminate the equation. The quality loss, I go back to it again. And that's why the Big Ten this year, as you talked about, Jimmy, they're sort of at the mercy of, you know, the national picture, right? Okay, so Oklahoma beat Texas. Now Texas is a one-loss team, right? Oklahoma's undefeated. Somebody needs to beat Oklahoma to get them out of the national picture.
Right, and it might be a Texas-Oklahoma rematch. And, Andy, here's one of the things that I've learned through experience over the years. We could get all those permutations. We could talk about a same kind of three-way tie in the Pac-12. These things have a way of working themselves out. All right, Andy, we need a winner.
I'm going with strategy this week. The strategic question from David in Chambersburg fascinated me. He's our winner. Well done, sir.
All right, very good, David. We'll be getting in touch with you. Great time here, Andy. Stick around quarter four. We got Sean in for Sean's Takes. He's going to give us the winners for this coming weekend. Stay tuned.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Sean Gold. For Sean's take, this is where Sean will give us his picks for the weekend. Sean, you already dubbed this weekend Redemption Weekend. Not a good time last week, was it?
No, it wasn't. We had a lot of teams let us down in big ways. None more than Maryland, who took Ohio State to halftime at 10-10 and had a complete second half meltdown. So 1-4, that's the inverse of what I was hoping for. So it is Redemption Weekend now.
Yep, let's put that one behind us. It was a tough week. And the Maryland game, as you said, that one really let me down too. I thought, hey, there's one in Sean's column, you know, even come halftime. But Maryland will do Maryland. And that's what happened in that second half. Let's look forward to this weekend, though, because we've got a lot of really good games on the slate this weekend to get to. One of them that's not going to be one of those great games is Penn State-UMass, but we got to talk about the Nittany Lions. Sean, it was obvious this one was going to be a big number. And it started out, I first saw it at 42.5. I saw it go to 43, then drop to 41.5 points. My theory had been if we look at the weather, it's not going to be very good. There's going to be rain and a bit sloppy, that might keep the score down a little bit. Penn State is undefeated against the spread, which I am very happy to say. I want to know, should I keep riding that train or not?
Well, that's a great question because 41.5 points is no joke. And like you said, the weather's going to be a factor. We're going to have some rain in Happy Valley. Honestly, I think that benefits Penn State more than it benefits UMass. I expect Penn State will still be able to throw the ball around a little bit, but they're definitely going to look to get things going early and often on the ground. Ground and pound, we're going to see a bit of that. The biggest concern about ground and pound is what it does to the clock. It just chews that clock up slowly. So I expect to see a bunch of long drives that we've seen from Penn State all season long. And that's a little concerning in a game where you have to cover by 41.5 points. Winning by 42 points is not easy on any given day. But in the rain, when you're going to run the ball, that is tough. Defensively for Penn State, we're expecting to continue to see great things. They're second in the country in stop rate, and they shut out Iowa early at home this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a second shutout this week. So while I'm nervous about all these points, I think Penn State can do it. I'd like to see a couple long touchdowns from them to save some clock. But at the end of the day, James Franklin, he has showed us, he knows what the spread is, and he likes to reward people who support Penn State with the spread. So we're going to roll with Penn State, minus 41.5. It's big, but it's doable.
You know, I've been going with Penn State all year, fortunately, and I knew going into this game it would be an ugly high number, and it made me tentative, but I think you hit it. UMass is going to be so outmatched, even when Penn State brings in that second team, even the third team players, they are going to be better than what UMass has out there on the field. And I do believe there's been so much talk about this lack of big plays. I think we will see some of those, both in the passing game and the running game, Sean. I can't get off the Penn State train. I just can't. They've been so good to me. And I'm not usually one who says ride a streak because I feel like each week is an independent process. And the people who set those spreads, they start reacting when you win every week. But I'm sorry. I just can't get off the Nittany Lion train. So that's the way I'm going to go also. Probably the game I'm most anxious to see, Sean, is Oregon at Washington. Two top 10 teams. This is from the Pac-12. Both have been so impressive all year. And we talked about this a little bit before we came on the air. Washington is the home team, and it's a 3-point spread. So it seems like Vegas is just saying, hey, these two teams are evenly matched. We're going to give Washington the 3-point advantage because they're at home.
Oh, boy. There are a lot of good games this week. But like you said, there is none better than this game. I would like to say, too, this game has the highest point total out of all the top 25 teams. Over-under is set at 67.5 points. That is not a normal number to see in these type of games. So heading into this week, Oregon averages the second most points per game in the country. Washington is third in points per game in the country. We know how good these two offenses are, so I'm going to talk about the defenses because that is where this game is going to be won and lost. Oregon's defense is a little bit better on paper. Their secondary has held up extremely well, allowing 153 yards per game through the air, compared to Washington allowing 243 passing yards per game. In the run department, they're pretty similar. Oregon allows 102 yards on the ground. Washington allows 121 yards. What I think the biggest difference, though, between these two teams, and my biggest defensive indicator for this game, is third down percentage. Oregon is 10% better than Washington on defensive third down stops. In this game, if you can force punts, you are setting yourself up for victory. And Oregon has done that better than Washington so far this year. Now, I will say too, all of these pro-Oregon defensive numbers could go right out the window when you play Michael Penix in this Washington offense. They have not faced an opponent like this. There is no opponent like this in the entire country. But I do think it is a good sign for Oregon that they are better defensively so far. And I got to say, I do think their defense is going to hold up better than some people expected against Washington. And that's why I'm going with Oregon +3 in this game.
All right. It's Oregon you have. That's one. Boy, I'm afraid of that game. I like both teams a lot. And if I had to pick, gun to my head, I'd probably go with Michael Penix. I'm very impressed with him. But, boy, Oregon's been so impressive also. Probably the bottom line is I'm going to stay away from that game. Let's go on to USC at Notre Dame. This is interesting because Notre Dame, their schedule the last several weeks, that they went from Ohio State to Duke, and now it's USC. A tough schedule. It is at Notre Dame, and they are a 2.5-point favorite. And it's interesting, USC is one. You talked about the over-under for Oregon-Washington. USC puts up lots of points. Its defense allows a lot of points. That over-under is also pretty high at 62.5 points.
Well, the past 2 weeks for USC have been very scary. They almost blew that big lead to Colorado, and it took double overtime for them to beat Arizona. So despite Notre Dame losing to Louisville last week, the Trojan defense is a big enough concern for Vegas that they made Notre Dame the favorite in this game, despite USC being ranked higher. I think people are expecting Notre Dame to win this game as well. I feel like that's where the public perception is right now because of USC's struggles on defense. But I personally have to question the Notre Dame offense. In the past 3 weeks, Notre Dame has struggled. They scored 14 against Ohio State, 21 against Duke, and 20 against Louisville. Those are not numbers that a top-ranked team in the country should be putting up. That's been underwhelming to me. So I'm not terribly, terribly concerned for USC's defense here. I think a lot of people are much more concerned than I am there. What I am concerned about, though, is Notre Dame's defense because Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley are coming to town. If you're letting up 33 points to Louisville, you're in trouble against the Trojans, who have the number one scoring offense in the entire country. I guarantee we are going to see some play calls from Lincoln Riley that we haven't seen all season long because he's been holding them in his back pocket for this Notre Dame game. So I'm expecting a great game plan from USC on Saturday night, and I will take the Trojans +2.5.
You know what? That's what I'm with you on. I think Notre Dame has shown they can't put up a lot of points, and USC is going to score a lot of points no matter who they're playing. So that one will be interesting. I'm with you on that one, USC. Here's one that's interesting, Sean, from the ACC, and that's Miami at North Carolina. North Carolina is a 3.5-point favorite, but I think what makes this game so interesting is Miami is coming off that heartbreaking game from last week, and the coach, the biggest blunder of the season, could have just taken a knee, game over, chose to hand it off, fumble. But what you had then was a breakdown in the Miami defense, which was also unforgivable. I think that the issue here is, how does Miami react from that kind of loss? How do they come back off that?
Unfortunately for Miami, I think North Carolina is a really, really good team. 12th ranked team in the country, 5-0, yet they're still kind of a sleeper team. Not a lot of people know too much about North Carolina, but what we do know is that Drake May, their quarterback, is going to be a high-end first-round pick in next year's NFL draft, and he has done everything he's supposed to have done this season. So while Miami is going to come out and try to get that taste out of their mouths from last week, I think this North Carolina team is a lot better than people realize, and I think they're going to be able to put up some points, and I don't think Miami has what it takes to take down this North Carolina team, despite them coming in super motivated for this week to try to right their wrong from last week. So, you know, my issue with Miami is not that they lost to Georgia Tech, but that game should have never been as close as it was. So now you're going to play against a top-ranked North Carolina team that I personally am very, very high on, and it's in North Carolina. I like North Carolina against the spread at home.
I like that pick also. I think earlier I talked about, you know, that Maryland-Ohio State, and Maryland proves that they're still Maryland, you know. I think it's the same thing here with this Miami team. I don't think that they will show that kind of whatever word you want to use to react to a tough loss last week. I think it'll affect them in a negative way. I'm with you going Tar Heels in that game. Finally, we're going back to the Pac-12 again. Two teams that are a little bit under the radar, and that's UCLA at Oregon State. Like I said, it's a very good Pac-12 conference when you have Oregon, Washington, USC. These two teams sometimes get forgotten. What do you think of that game?
Well, I think the public perception here is that Oregon State should win this game and should cover the spread. But what people don't realize is how good UCLA's defense is. Third in stop rate in all of college football. That has flown extremely under the radar. So I think their defense is going to step up. And then I've got faith that Chip Kelly, just like I thought Lincoln Riley is going to call a great game plan against Notre Dame, I think Chip Kelly is going to have a great game plan against Oregon State and help this UCLA team go in and pull off the upset. So I think they can win this game. But more importantly, we're talking spreads. So I will take UCLA to cover this spread as well.
Very good, Sean. Just a quick review. You have Oregon, 3-point underdog over Washington. Penn State, 41.5-point favorite over UMass. North Carolina at home against Miami. Carolina is a 3.5-point favorite. You have the Tar Heels. And finally, you have the UCLA Bruins are at Oregon State. UCLA, a 3.5-point underdog. You have taking that one. I think they're good picks this week on Redemption Week, Sean. All right, that is it for our show. That's all we have time for. Thank you, Sean, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.